reconnect his mic. Anyway, week 13 recap. I haven't done a recap in a while. I've had some stuff going on, but anyway, tried to do some other things and we're back. So week 13 started with the Thursday night game that nobody really cared about, but we got it anyway. Thursday night, Bills Patriots. Bills won 24-10. My personal, you can try a normal live. I mean, the normal live kind of sucks for my phone too, but I don't think I can add him. I don't know who that is. I don't know who's, Jimmy's out for the year. He broke his foot. Wow. We just have bad luck with quarterbacks. we can hear you now, Joe.
All right, sweet.
Cool. But I was just talking about Bills, Patriots, 24-10 was that score. And again, we try to run through this as quick as possible to get people to the back to the Sunday night game, which is the Colts Cowboys today.
Sure is going to be a fascinating game that everyone. No,
it'll probably be a lot more entertaining than people expect.
You think?
I think that the Colts have been competitive, and Saturday, for what it's worth, has this team motivated enough to compete, and that's all we can ask for. They're not better than the Cowboys.
They're definitely not better than the Cowboys.
Yeah, but they're going to play hard.
17, I think that is the best case scenario for them, which is enough to win.
Bills Patriots, can I call Mac Jones a bust yet?
No, because
he's not good.
His offensive coordinator is Matt Patricia.
Yeah, so I know. His offensive coordinator sucks too.
Declare him dead because Bill Belichick decided, for whatever reason, to do this.
I don't know, bro. Like, I mean, offensive coordinator might suck, but Zappy came in and had clear signs that he was a better quarterback in this system, understanding who to throw to, who to check down to, just in general looked to be more comfortable in the offensive system that they have, whatever it is that they're doing. I'm just like, dude, I don't know. You're a top 10 pick. I get
He was not actually a top 10 pick. Oh, he was like 15th or something.
Sorry.
He
projected top 10 pick. I apologize. Thankfully we didn't pick him. But anyway, he's a first round quarterback, put it that way, since we'd be technical. First round quarterback. I need to see a little bit more, man.
Oh, I mean, you definitely want to see more. I don't think any Patriots fan is happy about this. I just wouldn't declare him dead. When he looked pretty good when he had an actual.
I've never seen him look pretty good.
He looked pretty good last year.
Last year? He looked pretty good. Last year, he was trash. And people kept saying he was rookie of the year. Bro, they won games when they just ran the ball.
Right, no one's saying he led the team.
I'm asking for you to throw for at least 250 yards. Like he's got Lamar Jackson numbers without the running.
Without the running.
Yeah.
Listen, all I'm saying is if he was, I guess, probably the best rookie quarterback last year, obviously in the best system. I don't think anyone. Oh my God, no rookie. One at the end of last year was like, hey, well, except maybe some deranged Patriots fan was like, yes, I'd rather have Mac Jones than Trevor Lawrence. But, yeah, he had the best year. He had the best system. Now he does not have a great system. He looks bad. I mean, I think this is kind of who we thought Mac Jones was. You know, we thought he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. We did not think he would ever be a plus starting quarterback in the NFL. So I think it is what it is. He's going to be a guy who's performs to what's around him. And right now that's not a lot, especially when it comes to the guy calling the plays.
Big win for the Bills, simply for that division because it was getting a little hectic there. But they are now separating themselves gradually from the Patriots and the Jets and the Dolphins.
This was all their best possible week because Kansas City lost. And like you said, all the rest of their division lost. So they went from, they were in third place like 2 weeks ago. Now they're first in the AFC. So,
yeah,
this was a great week for Buffalo.
Steelers, Falcons, Steelers 19. Falcons 16. Pickett's got Mac Jones numbers. Is he a pretty good quarterback?
I mean, I think he's looked fine for what he is this year.
Yeah, hasn't been awful.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you kind of wanted. Just see some progress, which I think we've seen the last couple of weeks. They won a couple of games. And, you know, this is what you want if you're the Steelers. If you're the Falcons, if Tampa Bay wins tomorrow, I think maybe we start the how soon do we see Ritter clock.
Why would we not start that now is my question. Like, they're not out of their division. They're 5-8 in the – well, they were 5-7 coming into today.
Right, they were.
But imagine winning this game would be important because the Buccaneers only have 5 wins themselves. So
right, and they're playing New Orleans, who has Tom Brady's number, so who knows what happens tomorrow.
I just want to see them like try a little bit more. I don't feel like Mariota gives you the best chance to win. And if he does, then you probably need to let that be known. Because Ritter, I mean, for what it's worth, you would expect Ritter could start over Mariota. And if he does come in and he hits the ground running or plays much better, the question will be, why did you wait so long?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe they have their bye next week, don't they?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked
double at next week's schedule. Right now. Yes.
I usually look at next
week's schedule. Falcons do have a bye. So yeah. If you want to make the switch, you know, granted he'll have to come in and play 2 road games against the Saints and Ravens, which maybe isn't ideal, but hey, he's been sitting for 2/3 of the season. If he's not ready to get thrown in now, then – and also you need to see. I mean, Mariota is clearly not the long-term answer. So if Ritter comes in and he looks pretty good, all right, cool. Start trying to build around him. And if he's just a disaster, if he really is that much worse that's the reason why Mariota is still around, all right, then you need to be in the market for another quarterback. So, yeah, I think now is probably the time to make that switch. I mean, I guess if Tampa Bay loses and you're still only just one win back, maybe you stick with Mariota if you really think he's better than Ritter, but – I don't know.
I just want to say I'm very impressed with the Steelers' development of their young players right now. Like,
yeah,
they're winning games and getting that valuable experience. And it's not like they're winning games like they're winning. But I'm just saying they've been competitive in some games. They've taken their lumps. Nobody's given up or pulled the plug on anybody. They're allowing them space to develop. And seem, for what it's worth, to be supportive on the field and off the field. So, I'm even willing to say Canada's even come around a little.
A little bit. I mean, yeah. I think he was always better than he looked last year because he wanted to do things that Ben Roethlisberger, like play action, was not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think obviously – there was still plenty to criticize for, especially early in the year. But hey, they've won 3 of 4, and the loss is by 7 points to the Bengals in the last 4 weeks. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's what we expected, I think, from a Mike Tomlin team. Is that you looked at this roster, there was no reason to think they could compete. But they're going to come out every week and give it a shot.
We are one game away, Joe. One game away from being able to tell Ronnie to kiss our ass, the Lions – won more than 5.5 games. Lions 40, yeah. Jags 14. Just a great game for the Lions. If you're a Lions fan, I feel like you should be very optimistic. You should be a little annoyed that the Rams lost. Good. So you should be optimistic because you're going to get a pretty high draft pick. You've drafted well over the last couple years. And Dan Campbell and this team seem to be, once again, trending in the right direction, but there's still always going to be questions of whether or not he's the guy to lead the team. It could very well be that he's a placeholder and he gets the franchise through the lumps, and then they get to a point where their expectations will be higher. Because right now, I don't think they have high expectations. Like, they're probably happy with 5-6 wins. But when you get to that point where you've got the talent, everybody thinks you have the talent to win 10-11 games, and you're only winning 8 or 9 games, and that window starts to close, then we'll probably see more pressure. But right now, I think, you know, things are looking more positive. Once again, the defense has played pretty well over the last month.
That's the big development.
Yeah. And 40-14 with a Jags team that was a threat, you know, to somebody as on the same level as Detroit. So I think it was a good game for them.
Yeah, I think this is their most impressive game of the season. Because if you look, I mean, again, this is a team that's won 4 of 5, and their loss is the Thanksgiving morning game to the Bills, where they were in that game. Mm-hmm. So obviously they've been on a bit of a roll, but you look, you know, beating the Packers by 6, like, that's good, you won, but the Packers suck. You beat the Bears by 1, the Bears also suck. They lost to the Packers today. The Giants game was actually fairly impressive, but a lot of that is just there's a 3-turnover margin. If you remove the turnovers, it was a dead even game with an okay Giants team. But yeah, they dominated the Jags from the get. This never was close. It never got close. And then, hey, they play the Vikings at home in Detroit next week. That's a very winnable game. I actually don't think there's much difference between these two teams because I'm very much on the Vikings are thoroughly mediocre. So they could win that game. And at that point, I mean, hey, if you want to get real optimistic, you win that game, you can start wondering, like, is there an outside shot at the playoffs this year? I would say that probably doesn't happen because they'd almost have to win out. But yeah, I mean, if you can get to like 8 wins this year, and then you get whatever quarterback you're going to draft with that Rams pick, which is probably going to be in the top 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then obviously Goff's playing well enough that you don't have to rush that guy if he's not ready day one. Although,
yeah,
if you're getting like a Bryce Young, I think he'd be ready sooner rather than later. But if it's a guy like Will Levis, then you might want to
let him. I'm not even entertaining that. I don't know why everybody's so high on him.
I don't either. But this is every year with me and guys like Will Levis, where, yeah, I'm like, I don't get it. And then sometimes they're Josh Allen or they're Justin Herbert. Although I would say Justin Herbert was a pretty clearly better college quarterback than Will Levis has been.
Public apology to Christian Watkins. He has been a monster the last month.
Yeah.
Packers 28, Bears 19. I don't want to think that the Packers have any chance of sneaking into the playoffs, like, as a wild card.
No chance.
But I think somebody's going to fall hard on that 7th spot. Like, I would not be shocked if the 7th spot was a 9-18.
Well, that's the thing though now, because I mean, we'll get to this in a minute, but the Giants Washington game, I think,
oh yeah, the tie.
That kind of ruins the 9-8 deal. So yeah. I the Packers win out, there's a small chance, but I mean, even before that, they would have lost a tiebreaker to the Giants because they lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
So. And they lost to Washington. So this is a Packers team that dug itself too big of a hole. And I would also not be betting on them to win in Miami on Christmas Day. So
need the Bears to really look hard at getting a passing game coordinator next year. I think Phils needs some help. He needs some help. And personnel wise, obviously he needs some help. There's some fundamental flaws in his approach to the position from a passing perspective. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because the 2 interceptions I saw, I feel like he was just forcing because they were down. But then again, I don't know, man. It just seemed like really terrible ideas. So
I would also say outside of Houston and maybe Carolina, especially after they traded away Quinn, and I'm blanking on the linebacker's name right now, but mm-hmm. Roquan Smith. This is a bottom 3, I would say, probably roster around mm-hmm. Justin Fields. So yeah, the fact that they're still, I mean, again, Green Bay's not good, but you're in this game. You're winning this game early. The really just wheels came off in the 4th quarter. But yeah, I mean, I think the Bears have gotten what they wanted out of this season, I think, really. You've seen over the second half of the year, Justin Fields looks like he can be your quarterback.
Yeah.
And you're going to suck, and that's great because you'll get a better pick. So, like, this is the ideal. He looks pretty good most weeks, and you keep losing. That's what you want.
Ravens 10, Broncos 9. Terrible game, but Ravens found a way to win. The status of Lamar Jackson obviously would be the main concern here.
Yes. My favorite part of this game, the only part that I found entertaining, was when the Ravens decided to do a reverse pass and James Prochet threw into like quadruple coverage in the end zone and got intercepted. Which was an interesting choice by the Ravens in a game where you know you're playing the Broncos. You don't have to score a lot of points. Like, that's the rule. I think I saw today that the Broncos' record would be if they scored 18 points every game. They'd be like 10-2 now or something.
Yeah, probably, because the defense has been solid.
Yeah, I mean, This is the second game this year where the defense has given up 10 points or fewer and they've lost, or 12 points or fewer and they've lost. So, yeah. How long do you wait to fire Hackett? Like, why not just do it now? I don't even understand. Like, it's just embarrassing.
It is, and I don't know. Maybe they try to save face a little. I mean, they put a lot of money into this team, and he's just not the right guy. And honestly, if we're being fair, I don't think Russell's the right guy either.
He might not be, but you can't get out of that one, at least not yet.
So I watch, and I'll say this real quick before we switch games. I really sat down and watched the Broncos, like all 22s from their last game, and it is the worst offense I've laid eyes on this year. Like from execution to just what are you doing? It's 3rd and 10, and you're throwing bubble screens and crap. Like it's like, are you trying to move down the field? Or are you trying to move side to side? Because you don't score going side to side. And I've been saying that there's a lot of teams that have been doing too much side to side stuff, and they're falling in love with it, and it's just not working. And I think the Broncos are one of those teams. Like they're not doing a whole lot of anything. Side to side is kind of like throwaway plays at this point if you don't have the execution, and they don't have the execution.
They do not.
Eagles blew out the Titans 35-10. Done with the Titans. I'm not betting on the Titans no more. I don't like them. I'm mad at Vrabel. I thought he would cheat and find a way to make this closer, even win, and he let me down. He's actually an honest coach, which is unfortunate. Because if this was McDaniels or anybody else, they would definitely have won.
I mean, I don't know about that. This Titans defense did not have anything for this Eagles offense. I mean, no. I know on my fantasy pod, I said either A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith was going to go off in this game. It turns out they both did. I mean, if you're giving up 100 yards to two different receivers, then you're usually fucked, and yeah, that's what this game was. This is the Eagles showing again. This is the team week in, week out has looked the best over the course of the season. It doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they are legitimately, they deserve to be number one in all the power rankings. And this Titans team is fine, like they have been every year under Vrabel. They're fine. They're pretty good. They will lose in the playoffs because they mostly are just an okay team that benefits from being in a terrible division.
Some of that is true, actually. Browns, Texans, 27-14. Watson came back. Should have kept Jacoby out there.
Yeah, Jacoby.
But, I mean, you expect that. I mean, the guy's been out the league for a while.
And it's a weird situation, obviously. Like, obviously, it's all on him. But you're coming back your first game, and it's against Houston. So that's obviously kind of a lot going on there. I don't know that Jacoby actually had a game as bad as Deshaun played this week throughout the season, but hey, when you just score a bunch of touchdowns on special teams and defense, it doesn't really matter. I think it was their first punt return touchdown in like 7 years. So
yeah, the team stepped up. So, you know, a win's a win.
And the Texans suck. So
yeah, they
nothing's
do.
Changed there.
Vikings 27, Jets 22. I really thought the Vikings were going to give this away, which seems to be their MO. Too. Seems to be their MO. Commanders 20, Giants 20. I don't know why I paused there, but yes, we have a tie. Disappointed that nobody was there to be like, I didn't know you could tie.
Right?
It used to happen like all the time. And we didn't get a soundbite after the game where somebody was like, well, what do they do in the playoffs? But it was a game that I watched a lot of, and
likewise,
I left with the impression that both teams were fortunate enough to have tied, because at either point, like somebody could have lost that game.
This was the result that both teams deserved. I don't think there's any. Both defenses probably deserved to win. Both offenses did not deserve to win. I mean, Taylor Heinicke, credit where it's due on the 4th and 4 that they had to have, where he makes a great throw rolling to his left. But, I mean, the Giants' defense is on the field the entire second half. Washington can only manage one score that entire time. And the reason that they're on the field the entire half is because the Giants' offense score on their first drive to start the second half and then just did nothing the rest of the way. 4 possessions, not counting the kneel down at the end of regulation, in where they needed one score to win. And I believe they got 2 total yards across those 4 drives. And then, yeah, overtime, I mean, the Giants move the ball a little bit at the very end to get a 58-yard field goal that they came short. But, yeah, this is also a game where if you look at the stats, you probably come away thinking that Heinicke and Daniel Jones played better than I think actually either guy did. Where I, well, I know
It was some good defense from in the secondary, bringing up passes, not getting PIs.
I mean, this Washington defense is legitimately good. And then the Giants, this was by far the liveliest this pass rush has looked, which also makes sense because Azeez Ojulari has missed the vast majority of the season. Thibodeau didn't play for the first month. So those two guys being out there gives this defense some hope, especially the Giants. Obviously, you're hoping to get healthy. You're missing Adoree Jackson. You're missing Xavier McKinney. But, yeah, this is the game. This is what both teams deserved. The Giants, we get the Eagles next week. I think we all probably know how that's going to go. And then it's the rematch with the Commanders coming off the bye. So,
well, I think the Commanders do have one glaring issue, and they need to find a way to generate consistent pass like pressure, like on the passer.
They got it more in the second half. In the first half, they weren't.
I feel like in the second half they had to compromise by blitzing and adding people to the mix, which then kind of left them vulnerable for deep passes, which Daniel Jones and the offense were taking their shots. They just couldn't execute.
Well, that the other frustrating part, though, of the way that Mike Kafka called the second half is it felt like after that first score, the Giants, I mean, three of the four drives were three and outs throughout the rest of the second half, except for the one where they get a first down and immediately we get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which led to us not getting any yards. But it felt like he got too conservative. And then that very last drive of regulation, he's like two deep shots, and one of them should have been completed. I mean, not a great throw by Daniel, but I mean, Slayton got two hands on it. He's got to pull that in. But then, they get hyper-aggressive and actually gave Washington enough time to potentially come down and score at the end of regulation. So just some iffy choices. But, yeah, these are two okay teams who have benefited from winning a lot of close games. I believe they came in like 11-4 combined, 12-4 on 8 points or less games. So it makes sense that they would both just tie.
Niners 33, Dolphins 17. The story here is Jimmy G is gone for the season. We've got Brock Purdy. Tua didn't play all that great, but
no.
But I mean, to me, it was expected. Like he underthrows a lot, but the offense, Tyreek Hill got off, and that was it. Waddle only had 9 yards, but Tyreek Hill had nine receptions, 146 yards. And did he score? Yeah, he had a touchdown too. So he got off. Brock Purdy threw 37 times. That is concerning. But I'm sure, they'll have a better game plan for him going forward. He will be a game manager, and he can do that. I know a lot of people are not familiar with him. But if you watch college football, you've seen him play. He's not anything special, but he can run an offense, and he can hand the ball off. And he could throw to his tight end. Because that's pretty much what he did at Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, this Niners offense, I mean, Kyle Shanahan is as used to playing with backup quarterbacks as any coach has ever been.
Yeah, so unfortunate.
And again, this defense is good enough. They held the Dolphins to 17 points. I definitely still expect the 49ers to make the playoffs, but I mean, we keep lowering the ceiling on what the Niners could be. At the start of the year, it was like, all right, maybe the floor is lower, but Trey Lance gives this team, if he's good, definite Super Bowl potential. Jimmy G comes in and it's like, all right, there's still that chance because obviously the last three years has been in the Super Bowl and close to making it twice. But yeah, now I don't know. I mean, I still think the Niners are probably – I would still put them in that tier below Philly and Dallas. I still think they're up there with like the Vikings of the world. But
yeah. I think we'll see as the season progresses, like maybe the last like three or four games. I think the true identity of some of these teams will come out in those last three or four games, because there's always teams that get momentum at the end of the season and carry it into the postseason. And then there's always a team or teams that kind of start to fade and just never get it back. So you get like the pitcher's getting a little clearer, but we still probably need like two or three more weeks to really get a definitive.
Yeah.
This person's a contender. This person's a pretender.
I mean, obviously, that's what we saw last year. The Bengals were the team that came on strong, and the Cardinals were the team that just fell off the map. But, I mean, I think you feel really good if you're the Eagles and even the Cowboys, assuming the Cowboys don't lose to the Colts tonight or something. Where Seahawks. They're the top two teams.
Yep. Seahawks, Rams, 27. Seahawks, Rams, 23. Don't really need a recap because it is what it is. Rams actually kept it closer than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, props to the Rams. They gave Giants and Commanders fans hope that Seattle would lose this game and give us a little more leeway here. But, yeah, for now, Seattle moves back into that seventh slot, and Washington drops out of the playoffs at the moment. So, yeah, Geno, he came through when it mattered. I mean, 367 yards. So, good for him. I'm rooting for him to hold on to the starting job because, obviously, with the pick they're getting from Denver, they could replace him if they wanted to.
Yeah, I wouldn't, though. I mean, it's been going good. Like, build your
team. No.
Like, here's my thing on this real quick. You're not a quarterback away. Trade it down if you don't need one. Absolutely. Like, if you're going to bring a guy in, like, if you're drafting the quarterback within the top three picks or top five picks, that person shouldn't be sitting on your bench to develop. You would anticipate that they're ready. Yeah. If you have any hesitation on that particular pick and the options are that this person isn't ready, unless it's like a generational like edge rusher or something like that, just trade it down. Like it's no difference in some of these drafts from the talent you get at pick number five and the talent you get at like pick number 8, 9, but you can also get another pick in the next round and so forth. I think I said it on the podcast this morning. The Dolphins are a blueprint for how that works. They did great with managing their picks and their draft and turning that into current players that they needed to make their team better. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to look more into when you have these high picks and you don't really need them. Don't just make a pick. Like, think further down the road, like what this could potentially be. Chiefs, 24. Bengals, 27. It was my five-star alert, Bengals money line. I was a little stressed there. Zach Taylor made me really angry on 4th and 1. I don't care if you go for it. Call your best play.
Have a better play.
That was an awful play. That was just such a – it's an awful play for the simple fact that you didn't even block down and stop that guy from coming through the gap. Like, if you were blocking down and he still got through or something like that, you'd be like, dang, that's a good play. But there was no attempt to really block down on him. He was going to run into the running back anyway. Even if he didn't make the tackle, they were going to collide. So it's just such a stupid play. But thankfully, the Bengals won. I said before the game on the podcast, I wasn't going to read too much into it, and I'm not. Bengals caught the Chiefs at a good spot. They're a good team. This doesn't have any bearing on what might potentially happen if they met in the playoffs.
I mean, I certainly, obviously, with Kansas City, There's no team that Kansas City could lose to, and I'd be like, well, they've got no shot if they play them again because they always have a chance. But Bengals, this is 3 in a row now over the Kansas City. So at the very least, the Bengals in a potential rematch are coming in as confident as any team could be if they face Kansas City. And it's also just a reminder that when the Bengals do things right, they can, again, be a Super Bowl contender. They also, you know, besides that terrible call, Tyler Boyd dropped a touchdown in this game, like wide open, just straight through his hands, where they had to settle for a field goal. So this game could have been put away a lot earlier if Zach Taylor was a better coach, which is probably not going to change. And Tyler Boyd catches a pass, which normally he will. So, and also Samaje Perine, 100 yards. So the fact that the Bengals have been able to figure out how to manufacture a run game again is very important when you're going to be holding leads against teams like Kansas City.
All right. Last game before we leave, Raiders 27, Chargers 20. Are you ready to have Sean Payton as your new coach of the Chargers?
I mean, he probably will be. And Staley has no one but himself to blame. I mean, listen, he was my guy. He is – this game, he actually went for it on 5 fourth downs. They got 3 of them. But if you actually look at, like, the fourth down charts for the season, Staley's not remotely the aggressive guy he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in situations where it's an obvious go-for-it situation, he's still good at that. But the hyper-aggressiveness is gone. You know, the Eagles are actually the team that is doing that consistently, as they should, because that team is built to convert fourth and shorts. But, I mean, yeah, the O-line is still bad, which – that's not on Staley, but Herbert doesn't have help. And then the other problem is that you mentioned earlier, offenses that are just obsessed side to side, lack of verticality in the offense. And that's the Chargers until they get desperate. And then you have things like 4th-and-12 touchdowns to Keenan Allen because Justin Herbert's phenomenal. But Joe Lombardi's not calling that game. I mean, I think the truly, more than any fourth down decision, I might have said this on a previous pod, the biggest mistake Staley ever made was letting Shane Steichen go, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, who was the OC Justin Herbert's rookie year, and replacing him with Joe Lombardi. That was a humongous mistake, a massive downgrade, and it's going to get him fired. And that's the way it goes. I'm sure he'll bounce back as a DC somewhere. But even if the – I guess my one question to you is, let's say the Cowboys lose in the first round. They go on the road. They lose to – who would it be? Tampa Bay, I guess, because that's, I assume, who they would play. If they lose that game and Mike McCarthy gets fired, is Sean Payton taking the Chargers job or is he taking the Cowboys job?
I think he likes the Chargers weapons more.
I mean, I would take it as I'm a person who likes Dak, but I think, you know, unlike some people who think that Justin Herbert's a social media quarterback, Justin Herbert's fucking awesome. And if he ever gets an offensive line and a play caller, it's going to be incredible. And so, yeah, if I'm Sean Payton, it's the Chargers. Even if, though I have to deal with Patrick Mahomes all the time, I'm fine with that. I would deal with it.
Yeah. One, I think you get more control.
Yes, you definitely get that.
With the Chargers.
Definitely get
if, as Ronnie just said, the Chargers won't pay him what he wants. If money is really the issue, then you're going to go to Dallas because they're going to give you whatever you want. But they're not going to give him – I don't think they're going to give him
– he's also so rich already. Like, this is not a guy who's been a coach for, like, 3 years. Like,
and with me – with me personally, too, if Dan Quinn stayed, I would definitely be geared more to joining the Cowboys as a head coach. Yes. But if I lose Dan Quinn and he takes a head coaching job and I don't know. I don't know if I want to have to be there. Yeah. So, yeah, and again, the Chargers – yeah, I can see that. And that's true in the sense that they don't like to give control either, because I believe it was way back when Marty Schottenheimer was their coach, there was an issue with that.
Tom Telesco has been there a really long time, hasn't he? I'm remembering.
I don't know. What hot coach hasn't taken a discount? Bro, I'm trying to get to the Cowboys Colts.
Tom Telesco has been the GM since 2016.
Just DM us and we can talk about it there. I'm trying to watch the game. The recap show is supposed to be 30 minutes and we're at 35.
Wait, well, one more thing I want to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you buy the Raiders is still in it?
Hell no.
They're 3 straight wins. They have the Rams next week.
Yeah.
Rams, Patriots, Steelers, 49ers with a third string QB, and potentially Kansas City with nothing to play for.
No. I don't.
No. All right.
I don't. Because I think the Colts are going to make a run.
Colts are not going to make
a run. I'm joking. But no, I don't buy on the Raiders yet. Because, I mean, yeah, they're winning games, but again, they're still struggling even in the games where it looks like they should be dominating. Like, the Chargers didn't play that well today, and it was still a struggle to get the win.
That's true, but I also think, you know, in the last 2 weeks, you face Seattle, you face the Chargers. These are teams that are of equal ability to the Raiders, so I don't think it's a surprise that it's games like this.
Well, we will definitely discuss that. We might have to do a separate pod. I'm actually taking some time off from doing like comedy gigs. I might do some random open mics here and there, but no more actual shows for right now.
All right.
So that should open up some time for like additional podcasts. If we need to do a more detailed explanation on some things, we should link up. I tried to say we would do like videos on like, you know, breakdowns, but just haven't had the time for it this year. But I appreciate you coming through, bro. We'll be in touch because I'm not done with you and Staley yet. I need a couple more losses to really just drive that knife in. But I also said some wild stuff today about the Eagles, and you know, we all have our moments.
Yeah. Honestly, I actually picked the Titans to win this game. So
they disgust me.
That was my mistake for the one time I believed in the Titans. So never.
So again, we will be back we should be back next week. I should be back in time to do it next week. And if you guys have any questions or comments, whatever, just shoot us some DMs. We'll catch you guys next week on the recap. This thing is so